So what advice would you give, like, young girls who have dreams of playing sports professionally?
I think, gosh, there's a few parts of it, I would say, on the physical side, that loving your body, taking care of your body is so important, and really, with the right foods, real foods, enough food, drinking water, all of those things, like, we need to be strong. You don't want to get sick. You don't want to get an injury. Like, it can be so hard to come back from that at a young age.
Hey everyone, Morgan here, co-founder and president of Primal Kitchen. And today I'm super excited to be chatting with Allie Riley. She was born and raised in Los Angeles, but soccer has taken her all over the world. She currently captains the New Zealand national team and Angel City FC. She's represented New Zealand at 5 FIFA World Cups and 4 Olympic Games. In 2023, she led the New Zealand national team to the country's first ever World Cup win, and she's now the captain for Angel City in Los Angeles. She's also a certified health coach, a published cookbook author, and has a passion for all things food. She's committed to using her platform to help create accessibility to healthy food options and advocate for women in sports. Hello, how are you?
Hi, good, thank you. I'm so excited to be on your podcast.
Yeah, welcome. We're super excited to have you. So for those listening, I'll just, like, give us a little brief intro. Like, I want to know how you got into soccer. Was it always soccer? Were you playing other sports growing up? Like, give me the sports background.
Well, it has been soccer for a very long time. Growing up in LA, it was very common. All of my friends were playing, and I started out playing YMCA. My dad was the coach, of course, for probably, my gosh, from when I was about 4 until I would say 14, he was my coach. Until
no
I started
way.
Playing club. I was a late bloomer with the club soccer.
Yeah.
Soccer was my favorite. I loved that it was a team sport, but I did it all. Gymnastics. At school, I did softball, track, tennis, volleyball, swim team. I loved it. I loved it all. But soccer was the one that really stuck. And I think probably because my dad and I did that together.
Yeah.
And I loved having teammates. It's how I networked. I wasn't very good, but I locked in play dates on the soccer field as I was picking flowers for the first few years. But no, I loved having my dad as a coach, and he pushed me in such a healthy way, I think, which now as I'm older and seeing, you know, coaching some kids too and seeing how parents, there's a balance, but I think he did it in this way where I just wanted to work so hard, practice at home until it was dark outside every day, and somehow got me here to playing professionally in LA.
I love it. You're like, just picking flowers for a few years, like, oh, one of the best soccer players in the world. Like, come on. I am just curious, like, I have a niece who's, like, super talented. Like, she's crazy. And I'm not just saying this because I'm, like, related to her. Like, she kills every sport she does, she kills. She's like you. She's like tennis. You know, she'll go out and she'll, like, try out for the track team. And they're like, oh, you beat the record in the practice, right? And it's like, I had friends like that, two girlfriends like that. And growing up, I'm like, was there a time where you were like, what is going to be my sport? Because you were probably pretty good at all the sports you played, I'm guessing. I could be wrong, but I'm guessing you were. Or did you just always know it was soccer?
No, and I think the difference, I hope, for your niece and for me, I didn't know you could play professionally or have a future in sport, because the game has changed so much. Women's sports, media, opportunities have grown so much. So soccer I enjoyed the most. I think I did track to kind of supplement or complement soccer.
Like the train, you're kind of training.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I was fast and I had good endurance. My parents were both runners and I loved tennis, but just it was too individual for me. So it did come to that time where I kind of had to choose because, you know, you have a weekend. Are you going to a tennis tournament or are you going to a soccer tournament?
Yeah.
And so that was why. But, you know, I had no idea. Now these little girls, I think it's so cool. They come to Angel City games or they follow the U.S. national team in New Zealand. Of course, you know, I get to see these little girls who look up to the football Ferns. But these little girls are like, I'm going to be a professional soccer player. And I didn't know I could have that dream. So it was just because I loved it. I had the most fun because I loved having teammates. I'm an only child, probably a huge reason.
Yeah. I love it. Where did you grow up in LA?
Pacific Palisades.
Oh, nice. That's nice. That's a good place to grow up. Yeah. So cool. Okay. So for you, it sounds like the dream of the professional athlete, like maybe you didn't even realize you could do that when you grew up either, right? Like it's so different now. So like, talk to me, like, how did you grow into that then? Like, what did life look like for you? So you're a late bloomer, a legend, which I'm like, I'm not buying. I would imagine you were good from the get-go. But so then how did it all evolve? You played in college.
Yeah. So I still am pretty small. And so it did take two tries before I actually made my first club team. And then I suddenly had this dream. I wanted to play at UCLA. I wanted to get a scholarship to play D1 college soccer. You know, that was all I knew that was possible. That was the highest level. My mom, she wanted me to be a doctor or a lawyer, as my Chinese mothers do. So I went to Harvard Westlake, really great soccer program. I ended up, you know, I'm so grateful to my parents. I changed club teams from Westside Breakers, which was on the west side in Brentwood, to out here in Thousand Oaks. My parents were schlepping me out there. You know, the traffic, it would take an hour and a half to get to training.
Oh my God. Why did you change?
The level.
It was
It was more competitive. Big jump up. And this is when it was like, there could be a chance where Ali could play in college. So that started to be, so that was from my freshman year up through when I did get recruited to Stanford. So that was it. That was just, I thought I would play those 4 years if I didn't get injured and get a great education. And then I guess try to become a doctor or a lawyer. But the New Zealand national team, they started putting money into their under 20 team. So the youth program, because a little bit complicated, but basically Australia left the region to go be part of Asia. And yes, you can do that. It's a little bit weird. So there's an opportunity to really grow the game in New Zealand and start qualifying for the major tournaments. So New Zealand started investing in their teams again. After a pretty long period, the team hadn't made a World Cup since 1991, which was the first World Cup, Women's World Cup. So started putting money into it, sent in a CD with some highlights, and this is in high school. And so I got invited to try out for the under 20 New Zealand national team.
So when you were in college, you were doing this while you were playing?
This was my senior year of high school.
Of high school. Okay.
So that is when everything changed. So I got to try out for the under 20 New Zealand national team, made the team, went to an
under-20. So you just like, wait a minute. So you just like hear about this and you create your own like highlight video and you like ship it over to New Zealand. Someone watches it there and they're like, yeah, you're invited. Come try out.
Yeah. This is before social media. This is before, you know, you see a clip of some talented kid on the internet. My dad read an article about this change.
Got it. And he's like, well, there might be an opportunity.
And thought, because I have had dual citizenship since I was born.
In New Zealand.
So, yeah. So sent over, my dad's from Christchurch. So sent, and I had the highlights that I had sent to Stanford. And so, kind of got called in and started playing for New Zealand. And the next year was the 2007 Women's World Cup in China. And that just started this whole playing internationally. And then that helped me grow so much and became a regular starter at Stanford. And then lo and behold, a professional league came back after the WUSA had folded. The WPS came into the picture, got drafted. And that's how I started my professional career.
Crazy.
Yeah. And it just, the timing worked out so perfectly. Obviously, it's so, you know, hard to believe now that there wasn't a professional league in this country, that this country could not sustain a women's soccer league where soccer is everything.
Yeah.
And so it just happened to be the perfect time that I got drafted, played two seasons, and then the entire league folded. And so I spent 8 years in Europe. The league did come back here. Now I think we're in the 11th season, but this is my 15th professional season. And there wasn't a team in LA for 12 years, which also Southern California, how could there not be a team? And now there are three teams in California. So I'm just so proud to be, well, still playing, but part of this movement and this shift, and now women's sports finally getting the recognition it deserves. But I had no idea I would end up here ever. Didn't even know to want it to happen.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was a dream you could have. So were you in college? Did you like major in law or like pre-med or what? How did you handle that while
I
you
tried.
Were?
I tried. I took a couple classes to, I think I tried taking whatever the basic law classes. Couldn't do it. Too hard. It was not for me. So I majored in psychology, which I did love.
And psychology is hard too. You have a lot of science with psychology.
Yes.
I went in with psych major and I went to the business school because I was like, oh, this math is so much easier.
Yeah. I didn't like the science classes as much. I loved social psych. And yeah, I mean, I took all of the classes, so I didn't specialize, but it was easier to manage just with the schedule because instead of regular tests, you know, you're writing a paper or there's one final exam because, you know, I was going off to my first Olympics. You know, I missed every summer. I had something. I would go off with the national team every month, basically miss a ton of school. Just even playing for a college team, you're traveling so much. But I thought after that, I would just maybe get my master's in psychology. I really, really liked it. Wasn't exactly sure what I would do, but I had no idea until my senior year that I would be able to play professionally. And then I just was like, this is what I want to do. And my mom was like, are you sure? But now they're really happy. They come to all my games. They're the biggest, biggest fans. They sign autographs at games. They've really gone full in. The Low Riley family is just part of Angel City. They can't get rid of
us. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, how fun for you to be able to like play here where you grew up. And I don't know. It's awesome.
It is the best. Having that work-life balance for any career, but especially with sport, with just the stress on your body, on your mind, on your emotions, and to be able to have a day and go hang out with my parents and have a home-cooked meal and yeah, it is. I want the sport to continue to grow in this country because I want every player to have an opportunity to play. Maybe not in their exact hometown. I know we can't have a team in every single city in this country, but close enough where you can have friends and family come. And so, yeah, now we're at 14 teams. It's going to keep growing. And yeah, hopefully it just opens more doors for women.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's definitely taking off. About time. I mean, I grew up watching like Mia Hamm, right? You know, like so that was a big deal for us. Like, yeah, we traveled to see a lot of soccer, but so fun. Okay, so you played overseas for 8 years. Like, how did you manage your – like, what has been your journey with, like, health, wellness, performance? Like, how has that evolved through the years? And, like, how did you manage? Like, I'm just thinking, I guess when you're 18, maybe it's fine. But I'm just like, oh, my God, playing in New Zealand and then coming back, playing in California, and then also balancing school. Like, that just sounds like a lot.
Yeah, I can say I've always been healthy. My mom is very onto it. So I think – and she cooked the most amazing meals. I call her the Chinese Martha Stewart. I would come home, you know, to these – we'd always have a candlelit dinner. She would cook the most amazing dinners. And then I would take the leftovers to school, which obviously I did not appreciate at all. As a high school student, I wanted to eat in the cafeteria. I think a lot of children of immigrant families have that experience. But now looking back, I was so lucky. I was so well-nourished.
Yeah.
And then I went off to school and I was like, chicken tenders, French fries, ice cream. I didn't gain weight somehow, but I just ate, you know, whatever. It was so amazing to kind of like be free. I never was allowed like sweets or sugar really. And I am obsessed with candy now. But it wasn't until I really was how I feel like on my own when I went to play in Sweden that I really started to think about how am I going to sustain this lifestyle? How am I going to have like a long career? How will I have the energy to do? I wanted to learn the language. So I was taking Swedish classes. We had a very, very, very packed schedule in Europe. You know, you're playing your league, you have cup games, Champions League. This was the top team in Sweden. So, so, so busy. And also didn't recognize any of the ingredients and reading labels and trying to figure out how to be healthy, have energy, all of those things. And that's when I took my health coaching course and I learned so much and I became so passionate about cooking. And I was lucky to have my mom and then my roommates. And this is when I was really on my own. I'm like, I got to figure this out for myself. Wasn't making a lot of money. Most women athletes aren't. Don't want to be eating out all the time. So started cooking and started really learning about what I needed and tried everything. Low carb, high carb, no sugar, no whatever, all of these things. Gluten-free. I just loved experimenting and kind of seeing what worked for me. And so that kind of just, I kept building with that until now, really, where I feel like I know my body so well. I know what I need. And I love spreading and sharing information to, especially for young girls, to make sure that they're fueling their bodies as young athletes.
It's interesting. I had a similar, like, I did it all, like low carb, keto, gluten-free, dairy-free, like, I mean, all of it. Like,
yeah.
And then you do it all. And then, like, how do you feel? Like, where did you net out? I guess I'm just curious. Where you?
Yes. So I netted out as a self-proclaimed flexitarian. I try to eat plant-based as much as possible, mostly vegetarian. But realistically, with the way we travel, we go, especially with the national team, we're in New Caledonia for 3 weeks. And, you know, I had a vegan teammate and she was eating just canned tomato soup. And like, I can't perform on that. Like, and I am not dedicated enough. I have so much respect for her, but I'm not committed to the cause enough to sacrifice my performance or be prepared enough to have my whole suitcase basically.
Yeah, for sure.
Food. Again, I really, really respect her. So I when I can, I eat plant-based, but you know, there's some things like cha siu bao is what I grew up eating that my grandmother would make. It's barbecue pork buns, Chinese dim sum. Cheese is probably my favorite food in the whole world. Like there's just things that make me really, really happy and connect me to, you know, Manuka honey is from New Zealand. It's again, one of my favorite flavors. And so I have this balance of just wanting to feel really good, but also do my part and try to make a positive impact on the planet. And yeah, I think it's hard. There's so much information out there. There's so many people who want to know what they should do, how they should eat. And I think you have to put in the work to really do self-discovery. And doing the cookbook with my teammate was incredible. And she's vegan. And I love our recipes. And
is this the same tomato soup vegan teammate?
No.
Okay.
This is Tony Presley. We played together in Orlando. And so we did Girls Gone Veg together. And I love like signing a cookbook at my game for the first time was the most surreal experience. I can't even believe when people buy my jerseys, let alone like bring a cookbook that I made to
That's
the
so
game.
Cool.
But yeah, it was really awesome doing that with her. I learned a lot about plant-based eating and yeah, just being flexible, being prepared. And so that's kind of my flexitarian, probably 80% vegetarian at this point.
Yeah. I feel like I netted out like, we've really overcomplicated this thing. Like just eat real food and you've like won like most of the battle. Like what are we fighting about here? But yeah. It seems to be like trending more that way. Do you have any like, I don't know, you've got to be like taking supplements or something for just like performance. Like what is your, are you like a coffee drinker? Are you not a coffee drinker? What is your like routine look like as far as just like in season, your highest peak performance routine?
I don't touch caffeine. I have so much energy and I tried it for a game back in 2007 and it scared me enough that I will never have it again. I thought.
Really? Like what do you mean? It's
arrest. Well, I took a no dose. Okay. So because it was like caffeine is so good for performance. So I'm like, great. I'll try it for the first time at a World Cup.
Oh God, you did not.
And I thought I was going into cardiac arrest. Obviously then, and also my adrenaline, everything, it settled down, but it really, really scared me. But I love reading research on things like that.
What were you thinking testing that at a World Cup game? I mean, that's crazy.
Yes, I wasn't thinking.
Were you like freaking out on the field? Like, oh no, like I might need to call the doctor. Like I might need to walk off the field type of a thing.
Yeah. Well, so it was my goalkeeper who takes it regularly.
Okay.
And so we're lined up like for the game to start. And I was like looking back, like, I think I'm dying. She's like, it's just the no-dos. You'll be fine. So I'm like, okay. Yeah. And then it settled down. But I am a huge, like, I have to be hydrated, huge water drinker. I'll add really good salt to my water.
Do you just add your own salt, or are you into a particular, like, electrolyte?
I try different ones, but I have just this, like, Baja salt that I love. Okay. Just being able to add that, a little bit of tart cherry. I'll make my own kind of, like, mocktails.
Cool.
Helps me sleep. But I've realized that when I'm dehydrated, I cramp. I don't sleep well. I don't feel well. So big, big into hydration. I think it's something that we start to lose sight of a little bit. And I'm lucky we did we did sweat testing. So I could see exactly, like, during training, I wouldn't like having Gatorade. I wouldn't like having that taste. And then we're analyzing my sweat and they're like, you need to drink Gatorade during training or electrolyte. Yeah. You can't just have water. And then I eat a ton. Like, we get breakfast and lunch at our facility, which again has shown how far we've come with women's sports. Like, we have a very professional setup. And we have different proteins. We have tofu. We have all options for every dietary restriction. But really, really good food for breakfast and for lunch. And then, I do eat a ton of carbs. And I try to finish eating by 7 o'clock. So I can really, after that, like, I'll hydrate a little bit. But my stomach is a bit sensitive. And that's something – that's why I think with the plant-based eating – one of the big things for me is not having dairy on game day. And I know that's really common for athletes. It's just something with my nerves and things moving that's one of the days where I'm pretty, pretty plant-based, or at least dairy-free. And then, just sleep for me. If I eat well, then I sleep well, and then I feel good the next day. Those are kind of my – and very hydrated.
Yeah, I love it. This tart cherry thing is like – I keep – hearing about this, like, it's really – or do you have any other sleep hacks?
Love the tart cherry. For us as international athletes, we have to be so careful, like, with all the supplements. Everything has to be tested, third party tested. So, a lot of my teammates, though, will do CBD. There is one company that is actually NSF certified, that – or it might be Informed Sport, and they sponsor the MLB.
Who's that? Which company is this?
It's Recreate is the bottle, but it's part of Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte.
They're one of our sponsors, and that – I did try it out of season, and I don't know if these are placebo effects, but like I wear a Whoop, so I'm like, if I'm in the green every morning, 90%+ recovered. I'm like, something is working here, because I was pretty addicted to melatonin. And so I've gone off melatonin. I tried the ashwagandha. My teammates love the ashwagandha. They love the CBD. But
noticed a benefit with the CBD, you're saying?
Yes. Really, really good. Not having a sluggish feeling. And I think that just finishing eating earlier, not using my phone in bed, like all of those things. If I read a book, I'm out. I had the same problem in college. If I open a book, I just fall asleep right away. So those have been the biggest changes. And obviously I try a lot of things at the same time, so it's hard to know exactly what it is. But I just do the tart cherry with some salt, and fill up a huge, huge water bottle and just kind of drink that and finish that by about like 8 p.m. So I'm not peeing all night.
Yeah. Cool. I love it. what's your favorite recipes from your cookbook? I'm just so curious. I wanted to ask you this.
Oh my gosh. Well, I have a really big sweet tooth that I mentioned. So we have a lemon bundt cake that I love, and it's so beautiful. And when it comes out of a cake form like that, I feel like I've accomplished something really special when it comes out of the bundt form. And I love – we have cauliflower tacos, which I actually love with the one of the Primal Kitchen –
maybe the buffalo sauce or the chipotle mayonnaise.
It's the chipotle mayonnaise, but I was just thinking I want to do it with the buffalo, but I think I want to change, because this is a panko crusted – ooh. I would want to change it a little bit to do the buffalo, but that's like – I've been wanting to do a little video with that. But yes, the chipotle mayo with that. And then My gosh, I don't know. We have pancakes. I love pancakes. We have scones. I should say scones for the New Zealanders. Made with bananas. Bananas, a chia egg or a flax egg, almond flour.
So lots of good stuff.
Yes, yes. So many good things. Enchiladas, those are kind of my pregame.
I'm like hungry talking about
this. Yeah, me too. I'm going to
cook something. Your pregame is enchiladas.
Yeah, the enchiladas. Like
the night before or the day of the game?
No, the night before.
Okay.
But then I will have some for pregame as well. So that's kind of my get like two birds with one stone because I love it's just so filling, lots of veg, colorful. And I also love guacamole. So that's, I need a vessel for my guacamole.
Yeah, smart. I mean, that's how I'm like, you just need something to put the sauces on. I mean,
yes, exactly.
Yeah. And what is training like for you? Like, yeah, how rigorous is it right now?
So I was just – we played Kansas City. I went to Christchurch, New Zealand, came back, went straight to Chicago. And then now, thank goodness, we have two home games. So I think the travel is the hardest part, even across the country. It's far, and we're not in first class. We're not able to charter. So we're like Southwest middle seats, like going across the country, which is something obviously we're really fighting to change. I do think of the WNBA players and think they probably need help changing before us with our shorter legs, but we train 5 days a week, one game a week, one off day. And so I go in, you know, I've had a nerve injury. So I'll go in, I'll be there around 7:30. I'm in the hot tub. I am doing all these exercises and stretches, taping up my feet, going and activating, team meeting, back into the gym, a little like gym workout to get ready for training. We train for an hour and a half, back into the gym, have gym twice a week. So today we had gym, and then we go and have lunch together, and then maybe we'll have a meeting in the afternoon, or you could look at clips with the coaches. So I usually get home around 3.
Okay.
And then it's like straight into the boots. I'll go into the pool, start winding down, and do cool content, cook, and kind of do all my side hustles in the evening.
Gosh, this is like a full.
It's very, very full on. And of course, we want to watch the other games going on. We want to analyze our opposition, which, you know, changes every week. Want to see what the other teams are doing, rewatch my games, also prepare for the next national team game. So yeah, it's a lot, but it's the best job. Like, it's all worth it, but we definitely need to be paid more.
Yeah, I know. So talk to me a little bit about that. When you were mentioning change earlier, like, give people listening, like, you know, you've been an advocate for women in sports, but like, how has it evolved over your career, and what are you kind of hoping to see or working towards in the future?
It has changed so much. I'm really happy to be able to say that. Obviously, the first league that I was in folded. And that league, we were paid decent salaries. It's so hard to think. It was such a long time ago now, and women's sports was still still in the beginning. But I think because of that league folding and wanting to have a more sustainable league, when the NWSL came in, the salaries, I think the season was shorter, but you're looking at $6,000 for a year.
Stop it.
And players are living with host families. The games were played on baseball fields, like didn't have locker rooms, doing their own laundry. And in this country, I think women's soccer is very popular. Men's soccer, like, I feel like soccer in this country is kind of, we own that as women. Men's soccer, the MLS is competing with basketball, football, baseball, hockey. But that's another, like, the MLS has still been growing like really slowly. And so it's always kind of this like, we're behind them. Like, and people are like, oh, well, it took them so many years to like change their salary cap or for them to get charter flights. And it's like, do we have to grow at the same slow pace? Like, people are interested. People want to watch us, but there's
all interested in women's soccer for a long time.
Exactly.
I mean, a long time. Like, I'm 40 and we were interested in women's soccer, you know, 30 years ago.
Of course. And like the 99 World Cup here in LA, like, yeah. So it's just this constant argument though, with people who don't believe that it's a good investment. Don't want to put it on TV. Don't want to, you know, are honestly, it's like, the argument has always been, you have to prove yourself to be invested in. But we know that argument is so false. You have to invest and market, and then you see it grow. Then you see the return. But of course, it does take time. So yeah, we've heard that tired argument for so many decades now. But the NWSL, so starting from that very, very low salary. Now, unfortunately, 3 years ago, 75% of the league was still making less than $35,000 for 12 months. And I mean, that's just not, players have families,
crazy.
You know, and there's also this issue of you can be traded at any time. So say you do put down roots, you get a second job, you put your kids in school, your partner is working, and then you get traded and you have a couple days to be on the other side of the country. So there are so many issues to this. It's not just the salary. It's not just your income. It's also the stability. It's also the travel. Being in control of your own career, that is also value. That is also something we want to fight for. So we've come really, really far. Now you're seeing like record transfer deals. You're seeing record salaries. We're pushing to increase the salary cap even more. So I think it's definitely changing. It's still really hard to see, to compare it to the men's game. And I think that's where obviously we take that and want to keep pushing, but you have to celebrate the wins we have, the gains we have made. Otherwise you just feel like hopeless, I think, and exhausted. So I think now seeing the numbers, and this is all proof, you know, what you and I have known for a long time. The numbers are showing the engagement for women's sports, the viewership. It is, I mean, blowing the records out of the water. And so then sponsors are coming in. And so it is changing so much. And again, it's like, we've all known it, but finally it's happening. And for us, I think veteran players, it's so much about how can we set this up so that the young players coming in, now we have players who are 15 in the league. How can they have long, successful careers, make more money than we ever did. But also talking about travel, a successful career could be, you know, or life, you know, is you make a lot of money. Being healthy means being wealthy. Like there's so many different perspectives that I think we need to have. And so for me, one of my priorities is trying to get chartered flights for the league as soon as possible. It has to be something we think about alongside increasing salaries, because the way we're traveling across the country, and you have to wait, you play a game, you have to wait the next day, travel first thing in the morning across the country, you lose a day for your recovery. Whereas the men, they play their game, they go from the locker room to the airport, they get home maybe at midnight, but you sleep in your own bed, you wake up the next morning, you're doing your recovery full day before you go back into training. So we're just losing days, losing hours, and that adds up if you want to.
Yeah, and it's stressful. Yeah, totally. So what advice would you give like young girls who have dreams of playing sports professionally?
I think, gosh, there's a few parts of it. I would say on the physical side, that loving your body, taking care of your body is so important, and really, with the right foods, real foods, enough food, drinking water, all of those things, like we need to be strong. You don't want to get sick. You don't want to get an injury. Like it can be so hard to come back from that at a young age. And I see so many girls, maybe not having first access, but also information to know what it really takes when you put your body through running, tackling, jumping, all of those things, getting strong. I didn't think, you know, it was cool to have muscles or like to be thick and like big legs, you know. That's, I am happy that things are changing a bit in terms of like beauty, and we're seeing strong, incredible women athletes and all these different body types, being so successful. I'm so happy that's changed, that we see more women on TV playing sports. And the other side of it is like putting in the hard work and being resilient, because no one has a linear path. At some point, whether it's an injury or playing time, getting, you know, not getting the contract you want, or in this league, getting waived, not getting drafted. It could be so many things, and you have to be willing to like make your own path. And it's not, you can't follow anyone else's. You can't try to be anybody else. But now I'm so happy and proud that there are so many opportunities for young girls. That's what we're doing, is making sure that if you do work hard and you're healthy and you believe in yourself, like there will be a place for you to play. There are so many teams now, so many former players becoming coaches, becoming owners of teams, becoming investors. Like, it's so different. The landscape is so different. And I just like want every little girl to know, like, now they can dream it and actually can happen because of what so many former athletes are dedicating their lives to. So there's definitely that mentality piece, because I do think the opportunities are there and they're just going to grow.
Yeah, it's awesome. I like, my niece is going to be dying that I got to meet you today. So I'm like having visions for her future for her. I hope she's on board.
In LA, she has to come to a game.
She was in LA, and then during COVID, they moved to Michigan. They've got 4 kids, so she's in Michigan now.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I will have to bring her. They're out here all the time, but yeah.
Yes. Come, let me know. Come to an Angel City game. It would be so cool.
We would love that. Okay. What is something most people don't know about you? This is my last question. I ask everyone this.
Well, I might have revealed it, but I did live in Sweden, so I'm fluent in Swedish. And that has been like playing in Sweden and learning the language. It opened so many doors for me. I made a life in Europe. I loved it. My fiance and I, we own an apartment in Sweden that we don't get to live in now. But we go back every year and we do our cold plunge on New Year's Day. And
no way.
Yeah. It was, this past year was the coldest we've ever experienced it. But I think that's one thing. I know people know that the league folded and a lot of us had to find other opportunities, but, you know, living in Europe and my teammates being from all over the world, all over Europe, and players in that league being from all over the world, I think that just changed my perspective on a lot of things, on life, quality of life, what you need in life. I think that's, again, when I got into food and stuff, like just, yeah, what is wealth? What is happiness? What brings value to my life? And yeah, I'm trying to keep up with my Swedish, because that time of my life was so meaningful to me. So I don't want to lose that. And if we have kids, I do not want Lucas and our kid to be able to speak Swedish and me not understand. So I need to keep practicing.
I love it. That's amazing. Very cool. Well, thank you so much. It was awesome to connect with you. Can you let everyone listening like know where they can find you or follow along, or they can learn more about you?
Yes, of course. Please follow me on Instagram, Riley3. I also have a TikTok, but you know, a 36-year-old on TikTok, it's tough for us out there. And then of course we share our recipes on We Are Girls Gone Veg, and Girls Gone Veg is the cookbook. But yeah, I love opening people like up to my life, and my parents are hilarious, and Lucas, of course, and just making really genuine connections with people, even if it's over social media. I think it's so cool that we can be connected, and how you and I are talking right now, and just try to bring energy and positivity to people, and yeah, make the world a better place.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Ally. It was great to meet you.
Thank you. You too.